This is Colorado Public Radio. I'm Mike Lamp. Aside from the weather, the arrival of another Spider-Man movie is a sure sign of summer. But Colorado Public Radio film critic Howie Moshevitz says The Amazing Spider-Man offers more than an adult might expect.
This latest Spider-Man could have been written by a shrink, or at least somebody who's taken a psychology class. The father stuff alone carries jumbo-sized psychological motivation, along with abandonment issues, typical teen angst, puberty, guilt, first stirrings of love. It's no wonder Tobey Maguire played his version of Spider-Man with so much glum self-pity. Andrew Garfield, the star of the new film, manages to keep his Spider-Man more ambiguous, but the weight on the character's enormous. For reasons the little boy Peter Parker doesn't understand, his parents pack him up one night, deposit him with kindly Uncle Ben and Aunt May, Martin Sheen and Sally Field, and vanish from their son's life. By high school, the boy wants to know where the parents went, and his need to know increases as he's bullied at school and confined to perpetual nerddom. Peter's search brings him to a company engaged in genetic overreaching, his father's old research partner, Reese Ifans, and Peter gets his first girlfriend, Emma Stone. But it's the father stuff the movie works on. Besides the disappeared dad, Uncle Ben dies, leaving Peter awash in guilt, and the girlfriend has a father who plays a substantial role in Peter's life, and he also heads off in his prime. The Amazing Spider-Man dispatches fathers the way Disney movies terminate mothers. At its best, The Amazing Spider-Man's a melodrama about a sweet young man kicked around by life and constantly denied the father relationship that will help him tame all those demons that attack a young man whose hormones are just beginning to stir. When the huge growling reptile enters the movie, it's far more interesting to see it as a projection of Peter's hormonal state than the old story of arrogant scientists creating a monster. There are reasons that adolescent boys devoured comics like Spider-Man in the early 60s. The blunt, pulpy style of the comics showed lurid images for what it was like to sit in junior high or high school with no way to express or understand all those new juices making boys feel like spiders or reptiles. At times, The Amazing Spider-Man gets to those feelings, as well as the way adolescent boys feel simultaneously persecuted and heroic. That's the melodrama that boys experience. They feel like innocents who suffer unimaginable torments for no reason at all. In its good moments, The Amazing Spider-Man catches the real heart of pulp melodrama. There's no subtlety to the bully at school, no real prelude to the conflict. It's just there as a fact of Peter's life, like the whams and pows of comic book drawing. When Peter gets the spider bite that makes him into Spider-Man, the movie puts you into a subway charging through its underground tunnel. It's an image of overwhelming and terrifying change, like something surging through the bloodstream. The action sequences are less interesting. It's the same old stuff. Fights cut so fast that the drama drains right out of the movie. It's a tumbling mass of canned images with no feeling, so you watch with a detached, disinterested eye. The movie also has the feel of adolescent trauma warmed over and reworked by adults hoping to exploit the genuine feelings of young people. There's a disingenuous quality to the film. Peter's girlfriend Gwen looks 30, yet the movie dresses her like a teenager in knee socks, so she comes off more like the fantasy of a 50-year-old than the authentic girl a teenaged boy might swoon over. Just when The Amazing Spider-Man looks like the genuine article, it shows itself as calculated corporate entertainment, and when you're ready to give up on it, it hits you with imagination and occasionally brilliance. Sounds like high school. I'm Howie Moshevitz.
Colorado Public Radio film critic Howie Moshevitz is director of film education at the University of Colorado Denver's College of Arts and Media.